afternoon, it's 4:30 and 83 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Leanne Akers.
And I'm Brian Courtney.
The aggravating factors were that the murder was committed while he was engaged in the commission of a robbery.
A Jackson County man could face the death penalty for the murder of a five-year-old boy.
Kentuckians are pooling resources for Domestic Violence Month.
Kentucky's youth advocates are calling for lawmakers to reauthorize the Children's Health Insurance Program.
Moorhead's second annual Pride Festival will be held this Saturday.
The BBB is one warning of storm-related scams.
In sports, the University of Louisville has named an interim athletic director.
Bud Luke has the stock report.
Mostly clear tonight with a low around 54 degrees. Stay tuned for an extended weather forecast after this news.
The death penalty will be sought for a Jackson County man charged with killing a five-year-old boy. 41-year-old Lonnie Belt is accused of throwing Jessica Durham off an 80-foot cliff in a dispute over a $200 debt owed by her husband. And because her son, five-year-old James Spoonamore, saw it, the child was killed. Commonwealth's attorney Gary Gregory says the punishment should fit the crime.
I would just encourage them to try it out. It may not be for everybody, but it's for somebody. So at least come out experiencing it. And if it doesn't work, we'll get you signed up for a one-on-one tutoring session or support you any way we can.
Belt is charged with murder, criminal attempt of murder, kidnapping, capital kidnapping, and other charges for the incident in early September.
During Domestic Violence Awareness Month in October, Kentuckians are being asked to do what they can to help survivors. KNN's Susan Duvall has the story.
The Kentucky Coalition Against Domestic Violence, along with Governor Matt Bevin, launched the Purple Purse Challenge on Monday. Marjorie Amon with the coalition says the money raised helps survivors with financial emergencies.
That's usually an outstanding utility bill, a car repair, a child's medical expense.
More than $31,000 in emergency assistance was provided by the fund last year to more than 90 survivors. It's estimated that one out of four women will experience domestic violence in her lifetime. I'm Suzanne Duvall.
On the same day the U.S. Supreme Court begins hearing its first gerrymandering case in more than a decade, a Lexington forum will focus on electoral map making in the Commonwealth. Cindy Heine with the League of Women Voters of Kentucky says legislatures have been invited to discuss their proposed redistricting reforms, and the League will also present a report.
We are going to be sharing some information that we have found, some kind of crazy-looking districts, and talk about them. We're asking our panelists, our legislators, why they filed the particular legislation they did, what their thinking was, what they think their what the future might hold for ways in which we can provide fair redistricting here in the state.
The eventual high court ruling could have ripple effects in Kentucky if the court decision outlines formal guidelines on what constitutes illegal gerrymandering.
Rowan County's judge executive believes Kentucky needs to offer expanded gaming. With the state facing another round of budget cuts and its retirement system swimming in $33 billion of red ink, former House and Senate member Walter Blevins says the revenues from expanded gambling could help alleviate those problems.
You've got to look at every area of government that you can raise revenue, because these are big ticket items, and we're going to have to find the dollars. I know several other states have done casino gaming. I don't know if it's going to bring in the kind of dollars that it could have brought in 10, 15 years ago when there wasn't casino gaming around us. It'd be much tougher.
Supporters of expanded gaming say that Kentucky loses about $550 million a year to neighboring states like Illinois, Indiana, and Ohio that have casino gambling. Those against the idea say it would cost millions to help those with gambling addictions, increase crime, and put more people on public assistance.
A new report highlights the strides the Bluegrass State is making in energy efficiency and also points out areas where it could do better. Kentucky moved up two notches from last year, now ranking 28th in the annual State Energy Efficiency Scorecard. Report author Weston Berg is a research analyst of state policy with the American Council for an Energy Efficient Economy. He says Kentucky does the best in terms of its energy codes for buildings.
They've been pretty proactive in adopting some of the more recent model energy codes. So looking at requirements for windows and building envelope, basically ways to improve efficiency in new construction.
Kentucky also fared well in the report in terms of state government for offering several financial incentives for energy efficiency investments.
Officials with the Northern Kentucky Chamber of Commerce are trying to educate individuals about the importance of addressing the pension issue now. Chamber President and CEO Brent Cooper emphasizes the fact that fixing the pension system with an effective solution is critical for the well-being of the Commonwealth in general, as well as the business community.
If we do not find a way to solve this problem, we're looking at double-digit cuts to services, in particular things like education, that really jump out at people. And in some cases, if we don't solve that problem at the state level, we're looking at massive double-digit increases in taxes, and so especially here locally. And so it's something we're keeping an eye on. How are we going to solve that problem collectively? It's going to take compromise and consensus.
Cooper believes a growing unhealthy pension system can lead to residual effects on all other state agencies. He expects a special session to be called later this month.
With Congress bypassing a Saturday deadline to reauthorize the Children's Health Insurance Program, or CHIP, Kentucky youth advocates are calling on lawmakers to recommit to the bipartisan legislation. Kentucky Youth Advocates Director Dr. Terry Brooks says procedural hurdles and Washington infighting are putting 100,000 Kentucky children at risk of losing health care coverage.
I mean, here is one health topic that the most liberal Democrat and the most conservative Republican can agree on. In Kentucky, we always are looking for some silver linings when it comes to data points and rankings and percentages of kids for whom good things are happening. We don't want to see that progress slowed. We certainly don't want to see regression.
CHIP provides coverage for eligible children in families with incomes too high to qualify for Medicaid. Brooks says he's optimistic the program will be renewed, but he worries the federal government could shift more of the costs to the states at a time when Kentucky has few discretionary dollars to spend.
A Transylvania University student targeted over her immigration status is traveling to Capitol Hill to push for immigration reform. WUKY's Josh James has more.
Transy senior Paola Garcia, who is protected under the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals, or DACA, program, says she began receiving threatening and insulting messages after fellow student Taylor Ragg posted her picture on Facebook and urged readers to turn her in to immigration authorities. She later posted an emotional 6-minute video to YouTube.
And he's inciting them to harass me and report me.
Ragg is no longer enrolled at the university, but Garcia says she's not going silent. The Lexington Herald-Leader reports Garcia is one of 100 Dreamers heading to Washington, D.C. to make the case for more permanent immigration reforms. She tells the paper she hopes to, quote, put a human face on DACA recipients and lobby for the DREAM Act. Meanwhile, a Lexington attorney, Heather Hoddy, offered free legal services to DACA recipients filing renewal paperwork on Sunday. President Donald Trump announced in September that DACA would expire in 6 months unless Congress takes action. In Lexington, I'm Josh James reporting.
We'll have more of your local news after this.
Support for MSPR is provided by St. Clair Regional.
Hello, I'm Ricky Watts, a nursing director at St. Clair Regional. We are currently looking to hire empathetic, compassionate, registered nurses to join our team. Nursing is more than just a profession at St. Clair Regional. We have new RN rates and benefit packages, and we're growing. More information can be found at St. Clair Regional's website, st-clair.org.
The second annual Moorhead Pride Festival will be held this Saturday in downtown Moorhead. Tony Hobbs is a member of the Moorhead Pride Advisory Board. She says Saturday's event will host 60 vendors, and the group is expecting more than 500 people to attend.
We have a really great music lineup. Amethyst Kia, Daphne Willis, Sam Tolson, the Wood Sheep, and the Tea Lights, which are local. We're very excited about them. The Louisville Gay Men's Chorus will be there as well. We'll have some very awesome speakers. We have a diversity forum and the AIDS Quilt Memorial in conjunction with Moorhead State and the Camden Care Library right now, and we're trying to pack a whole lot into just a small amount of time.
The event Saturday will be held on 2nd Street with performances on the Moonlight Stage. Hobbs says the Moorhead Pride Festival was moved to October this year because October is LGBTQ History Month.
If you're looking to help the victims of the recent hurricanes in the southern U.S., Puerto Rico, and the Virgin Islands, the Better Business Bureau of Central and Eastern Kentucky warns to keep a sharp eye out for con artists. BBB Communications Director Heather Clary says there are scammers out there running phony charities looking to take advantage of your generosity. To avoid becoming a victim, Clary advises checking out the BBB's Wise Giving Alliance, which reviews the business practices of all charitable organizations.
We've checked out everything that they do, how they raise the money, how much of it goes to the programs, and that's an excellent place to check if you are wanting to donate, because let's face it, everybody wants to give at the front end, but the need is going to go on for a long time. So maybe as the end of the year approaches and you're looking for tax deductions and you want to make a donation, that's an excellent place to look to see who could use your money.
For more information on the BBB of Central and Eastern Kentucky, go online to bbb.org/Lexington.
A new walking, running, and bicycling trail could be carved out along the Ashland Riverfront. The City Commission is considering extending the current path, which begins near the Port of Ashland. The proposed trail would stretch along the riverside, then loop below the Green Ben Williamson Bridge connecting Ohio to Ashland. The trail would then shoot straight towards the sidewalk area adjacent to the railroad tracks. Commissioner Marty Gutz says a Facebook poll with voters brought the project idea to light.
And there was different things, you know, recreation opportunities and businesses and so forth that they would like to see. And one of those was more walking trails, hiking trails, biking paths.
Gutz says with the help of community volunteers and businesses, the path could be complete without much assistance from the city.
Carter Judge Executive Mike Malone says it will likely be several years before the county will have the money needed to pave its gravel roads. Malone says a decline in Kentucky's gas tax a few years ago removed $400,000 from the county's road fund. He adds the $200,000 it gets from the state's rural and secondary road aid fund now barely pays for its current resurfacing projects.
I think the funding outlook is going to look worse down the road because of the pension problems. That's another issue. It will cost our county, the projections, or it'll cost us an additional $400,000 in pension funding. And, you know, you just can't keep taking slices out of the pie and have much of a pie left.
Malone says unless Carter residents are willing to submit to a local tax increase, he doesn't see a way out of the problem.
The Young Eagles flight rally will happen at Rowan County's Clyde A. Thomas Regional Airport on October 14th. The Experimental Aircraft Association, or EAA, will host the annual event. Its goal is to encourage young people to learn about aviation. Kids ages 17 will be able to go on a small plane ride with an experienced pilot. While up in the wild blue yonder, they'll be shown how airplanes work and that safety is the most important component for flying. Children must be at least 8 years of age to participate. The flight rally coordinator is Jim Flutie, who explains the event is more than just about going up in a plane. It might also give the young attendees the motivation for higher education.
We were doing Arts and Eat 3 weeks ago and had a lady come up to us and said that her son took one of the Young Eagle flights several years ago. Now he is entering Embry-Riddle University in Florida, which is an aviation university that concentrates in the aviation industry and the aviation jobs and stuff like that. He had wanted to do that apparently from the time he was 8 or 9 years old, and now he's following through on it.
More than 2 million young eagles have taken flight in the rally since it was first launched in 1992.
We are here with the weather today, and for today it is sunny with a high near 80. Tonight, clear with a low around 52. On Wednesday, sunny with a high near 80. Calm wind becoming west around 5 miles per hour in the afternoon. Wednesday night, partly cloudy with a low around 56. Thursday, patchy fog before 7 a.m., otherwise mostly sunny with a high near 78. Thursday night, mostly cloudy with a low around 58. Friday, a 20% chance of showers after 10 a.m., mostly cloudy with a high near 79. We have the current temperatures here for you. In Ashland, it is 82 degrees. In Winchester, it is 82 degrees. In Inez, it is 81 degrees. Flemingsburg, 82 degrees. Lexington, 83 degrees. And here in Moorhead, it is 83 degrees.
On our feature segment today, the first week of October is Moorhead State Pride Week. And with that comes many events centered on diversity and inclusion. WMKY's Logan Pemberton has the story.
Moorhead State University's Eagle Diversity Education Center and the Camden Carroll Library have teamed up with Moorhead Pride to bring a diversity and inclusion forum to MSU. The event will be held on Friday, October 6th at the library from 3 to 6 p.m. The forum is part of many other community discussions that the Diversity Education Center began doing last fall. Chris Blakely is the Minority Retention Coordinator for the Diversity Education Center. He says they hope events such as this will help bring forth discussion.
In partnership with that, next Friday, we will be partnering with Moorhead Pride to have a diversity and inclusion forum, kind of in that same light of our community conversations that we've had in the past. So on Friday, from 3 to 6 in the library, in the Athena room, we will be having a conversation with three panelists who will be discussing different topic areas as it relates to the LGBTQ community, diversity, inclusion, HIV, AIDS awareness, and this kind of issues related to that particular community.
Blakely says with some of the recent events, it's important for students to discuss diversity in the community, country, and around the world. The EDC started the community conversations with this in mind.
Our goal, as you know, it's always been since we started our community conversations, was to, you know, help those around us, you know, improve our thinking, our empathy and our sympathy for different people who have different ideas of us, but really just foster a dialogue within our campus community where we can be able to discuss these difficult times, subject matters, but also challenge ourselves to be, you know, deeper thinkers as we are in Institution of Higher Education. We know that one of the challenges is fostering civil dialogue inside and outside the classroom. So we kind of try to create these environments and atmospheres where we can have those conversations and gain additional knowledge outside of the classroom.
Along with the open forum, Blakely says Moorhead Pride plans on exhibiting two sections of the AIDS Memorial quilt.
The quilt exhibit will be actually in the library in the Athena room all week long. So that is something that's being sponsored by Moorhead Pride in connection with the library as well. So that exhibit will be in the library starting October 2nd next week throughout Sunday, October 8th. And there's two sections of the quilt. It's kind of internationally celebrated as AIDS Memorial Quilt, and it'll be on display that week long.
The original quilt began in San Francisco during the mid-1980s during the AIDS crisis. Cleve Jones, a gay rights activist based in San Francisco, teamed up with fellow activist Mike Smith to form the NAMES Project Foundation. As the project grew in popularity, it eventually reached the National Mall in Washington, D.C. on October 11, 1987. With nearly 2,000 panels, the quilt covered a space larger than a football field. That weekend, nearly 500,000 people visited the display. The project is still one of the largest pieces of community folk art in the world. For WMKY News, I'm Logan Pemberton.
It's 4:48 and 83 degrees in Moorhead. I'm your Mountain Edition host, Leanne Akers, here with Brian Courtney, and we are so glad that you've joined us on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon. Braxton Howard has sports in 30 seconds.
Support for MSPR comes from the Community Recycling Center in Moorhead. Located on Triplett Street near the Moorhead City Park, the Community Recycling Center offers a 24-hour drop-off service for recyclables. Funded in part through a grant from the Kentucky Division of Waste Management, an additional green trailer rotates among Elliottville, Farmers, Hayes Crossing, and the MMRC Fire Department on Kentucky 801 North. The rotating trailer schedule is online at moorheadrecycling.org.
Good afternoon with WMKY Sports. I'm Braxton Howard. The University of Louisville has named its new interim athletic director, while Tom Jurich remains on a paid administrative leave. Vince Tyra, a member of the U of L Foundation Board, has been named to be the interim AD. But despite naming Tyra to the position, the Courier-Journal is now reporting that Tom Jurich has a, quote, better than 50% chance to retain his athletic director position. The University of Louisville has also begun the process of officially firing basketball coach Rick Pitino. KNN's Will Clark has more on that.
U of L Interim President Greg Postal coming out of a two-hour closed-door meeting of the school's Athletic Association Board to announce that the board had passed what he called a short and simple resolution that would allow him to move forward with terminating Rick Pitino for cause. The next step, a letter explaining what the coach did.
The letter that the board has asked me to write will go through in detail and explain the logic of the decision, and that letter will be crafted as soon as possible.
Postal said it was not an easy decision to decide to terminate Coach Pitino, saying firing anyone for cause at the university is a difficult move. At Grawmeyer Hall on the U of L campus, I'm Will Clark.
The NBA is changing its format to its annual All-Star game. Starting for the 2018 game, the league will do away with the current Eastern Conference versus Western Conference format. Under this new format, the two players who receive the most fan votes will be chosen as team captains and will then take turns picking their teammates, playground style, regardless of their conference, and those teams will compete against each other. Cincinnati Reds manager Brian Price is already looking ahead to the 2018 season. Looking at his team's offense, defense, and bullpen, Price says the Reds have a lot of good pieces in place.
And that's what gets us excited moving forward. Now we got to get our pitching in a position where, you know, we get from the bottom and get ourselves more towards the top, and that, I think, is going to be the difference maker for the franchise.
The Reds will be looking to shorten up their starting pitching rotation in the offseason. This year, they use 16 different starters, with 10 of them being rookies. They're also hoping for the return of veteran Anthony DeSclafani, who missed all of 2017 because of various arm injuries. The Minnesota Twins visit New York tonight to take on the Yankees for the final American League Division Series playoff spot. Yankees star rookie Aaron Judge, the American League's home run leader, admits he's a little anxious for the game.
I think I'll probably be nervous for the first inning out on defense, but I think once, you know, that first pitch is thrown by Severino, I think it's game on. It's time to go out there, compete, and go out and have some fun and win a ball game, you know. So I think just once the game gets started, we'll all kind of relax and just kind of settle in, and it'll be a good ball game.
Tonight's winner advances to take on the AL's top-seeded team, the Cleveland Indians. Morehead State football coach Rob Tenier says his team's defense must find a way to stop opponents' rushers. The Eagles are allowing an average of 317 yards per game to their opponents on the ground this season. Tenier is especially upset that MSU allowed Campbell's runners to pile up 458 yards in last Saturday's 38-0 rout of his team.
We got to find a way to stop the run better, that's for sure. You know, obviously having Jerome getting hurt really hurt us there. And hopefully we have him back for next week because he's our, you know, leading tackler on defense. And we've got to have him in the box to help us in that run game.
Jerome is sophomore outside linebacker Jerome Brooks, who left last weekend's game against Campbell with an undisclosed leg injury. MSU hosts Butler this Saturday. With preseason drills underway, Kentucky basketball coach John Calipari is again dealing with the annual problem of what to do with a young and talented roster. With the style of play that UK employs and the way the college basketball game is moving, Calipari says at this point in time, his players are, quote, positionless.
Play basketball. Take somebody on the bounce. Get in the lane. Don't short dribble and spin. It doesn't work. It might work in high school. It doesn't work in college. It don't work anywhere. You got to get by people. Shoot jump shots. Go play. And it gives us a chance. You get a chance to see and learn about your guys before the season starts, which is pretty good.
The Wildcats basketball team will get to showcase some of its skills during the annual Big Blue Madness event next Friday at Rupp Arena. The Morehead State volleyball team is gearing up for a big OVC matchup tomorrow evening. Coach Jamie Gordon's Eagles will look to improve on their 1-3 conference mark when they visit arch-rival Eastern Kentucky at 6 o'clock.
We're slowly getting healthier in a couple of positions, but there's some areas that should be strong for us. We've really identified that our blocking should be a characteristic that we can rally around, and unfortunately that hasn't quite been the case in the last few matches, so that'll be something that we'll need to focus on the week ahead.
While 5-13 overall, EKU is 3-1 in OVC play. Finally, in sports, Round County soccer teams both have action tonight on the road. The 9-4-2 Lady Vikings play at Ashland Blazer. With the postseason just around the corner, Round coach Alan Evans says he wants his players to tune up their transition game.
Just understanding that defensive center man has to get the outlet, or the wing defender has to get that outlet. If not, they can go box to box in 3 seconds, and that's always dangerous. And then usually the other team's going to have a speedy player up there that's going to get a shot on goal. And so it's really important to understand professional foul and slowing that transition down and not letting them hit their outlets.
As for the Red Hot Round Boys, they'll look to add to their 7-game winning streak this evening at Harrison County. That's sports for WMKY. I'm Braxton Howard.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at MSUEagles.com. Football will host Butler this Saturday at 1 p.m. and Stetson on Saturday, October 21st. Tickets and more information from the MSU Eagle Ticket Office at 783-2386 or online at MSUEagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing stock market report for MSU Public Radio. U.S. stocks closed higher, building on strong gains from their previous session, with the Dow Industrials finishing with a gain of 84.07 at 22,641.67. The S&P 500 was up 5.46 at 2534.58, and the NASDAQ Composite was up 15, finishing at 6531.71, and all three of the major averages hit all-time closing highs today. Airline stocks were very strong, with Delta and United Continental being actually the best performers in the S&P 500, as they were up 6.6% and 6.1% respectively. And telecom stocks rose 1.1% to actually lead S&P 500 sectors in terms of advancing today. And in an interview, Warren Buffett said that while some Wall Street experts have expressed concern over equity valuations, Mr. Buffett said that they made sense given where interest rates were. Buffett said rates have been a powerful factor in equity values. In economic news, monthly auto sales data were being released throughout the day. GM, Ford, and Fiat Chrysler were among the automakers who reported better than expected sales. And in trading today, GM stock was up 3% and Ford was up 2%. In the commodities markets, oil was down 0.4%, finishing at $50.36 a barrel. Gold was down 0.1% at $1,274.40 an ounce. In Europe, stocks were up, with the Stock 600 index finishing with a gain of 0.15%. And in the Far East, stocks were very strong, with the Nikkei average in Japan up 1% and the Hang Seng in Hong Kong index up 2.25%. Among Dow stocks, your best performers were Verizon and American Express. The worst performers were Nike and Microsoft. In the S&P 500, as mentioned, the best performers were Delta Airlines and United Continental, and the worst performers were F5 Networks and Hanes Brands. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Global up $1.34 at $67.04, CSX down 66 cents at $52.12, AEP down 14 cents at $70.29, Marathon Petroleum up a quarter at $56.14, AK Steel up 3 cents at $5.74, and Anthem was up $2.14 to finish at $193.25. Reporting for WMKY, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Morehead State University has many points of pride, including the MSU Police Department, recognized with a 5-year certificate of accreditation from the Kentucky Association of Chiefs of Police. The MSU Police Department has received the award 5 times since 1997. The award recognizes high levels of professional standards, effectiveness, and professionalism. The MSU Police Department, one of MSU's many points of pride. Major in you at Morehead State University. Learn more at moreheadstate.edu.
Welcome back with the weather one last time. Today, sunny with a high near 80. Tonight, clear with a low around 52. Wednesday, sunny with a high near 80. Calm wind becoming west around 5 miles per hour in the afternoon. Wednesday night, partly cloudy with a low around 56. Thursday, patchy fog before 7 a.m. Otherwise, mostly sunny with a high near 78. We have the current temperatures here for you. Ashland, 82 degrees. Winchester, 82 degrees. Inez, 81 degrees. Flemingsburg, 82 degrees. Lexington, 83 degrees. And here in Morehead, it is 83 degrees.
That's it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Chuck Mraz, Arlo Barnett, Sean Delaney, Jack Claudel, Cody Robinson, Ellen Barnett, and Braxton Howard. K&N's Susan Duvall pitched in, and so did WUKY's Josh James. Our feature segment today came from WMKY's own Logan Pemberton. This is Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY Morehead and translator W202BH in Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Brian Courtney and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Leanne Akers for WMKY News. All Things Considered is next. It's 5 o'clock.